hit television shows like Friends, Seinfeld, The Big Bang Theory, for example, these all emphasize the importance of a group of friends. Cheers was another example. Their theme song said, "Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came." It's the heart cry of everybody at some point. Even the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, did not go into the Garden of Gethsemane alone when he faced the darkest of times as he was preparing to go to the cross. He took along his closest companions, his friends, the disciples, even though they proved to be useless in the heat of the moment. These days, it's evident how much we need friends. Even though we flatten the curve of COVID-19, we also flatten people's self-awareness often with isolation or being apart from one another. And no matter how many slogans we spout about how important it is, it's hard on people. People who face addictions alone and don't have support groups, or people who are depressed and sometimes don't survive it. We have to rethink how we do this, but that's for another time and not for this place. The point today is that everybody needs a friend. And the Apostle Paul, as he closes this letter to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian Christians, says some powerful things about his friend Tychicus, with whom he was going to send this friend. He greets them warmly and then describes how much he trusts this man as he imparts to him the care and the delivery of this letter to the Ephesians and probably other cities in the region, because it probably went around as a circular letter. We can glean from this, first of all, that friends celebrate a brother or sister. To bring you up to date, he says, "Tychicus will give you a full report about what I am doing and how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you." Paul celebrated his friend Tychicus. "He is a beloved brother," he said. Paul liked to link beloved and brother because through faith in Christ, the believer comes into a family-like friendship with another person. It's because we share in this common brotherhood through Christ. We become brothers and sisters through him as the elder brother or the firstborn among many. And the firstborn means superior, the Lord of them all. Paul wrote this, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Firstborn again means superior or leader among them. A few weeks ago, a dear friend of mine passed away suddenly, and I felt that loss keenly, even though for several years we haven't had a lot of conversations. But he was a man who liked to refer to other believers as brother or sister, and he really meant it. He was keenly aware of the importance of family amongst the fellowship of believers. Never underestimate the importance of being a brother or a sister. So how do we shape friendship as believers in Christ? We do it partly by celebrating a brother or sister, as Paul illustrated with reference to his friend Tychicus and his friends in Ephesus. He also points out here that friends help and encourage. Reggie McNeil writes, "Many friendships fail to mature because of unrealistic expectations on the part of one or both parties. Friends will at some point fail friends." McNeil relates the story of a man who discovered he was a lousy friend. As a matter of fact, he discovered that what he would do in getting to know people was use them, and then as they became closer, I suppose he felt threatened and he would back away. But when he realized what he was doing, he decided he would deliberately focus on change. And so he began to once a week reach out and meet with a friend. And when the friendship involved a couple, he, along with his very gracious and helpful wife, would have them over for an evening, maybe for dinner. Over time, they together developed some very meaningful friendships. And in time then, these friends could speak into his life and offer encouragement or maybe some correction or admonition or mentoring, all because they deliberately took the time to spend time and celebrate friendship. So again, friends help and encourage. Paul said he is a beloved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work. Tychicus was a team player, a good sport, someone you could entrust with the most critical task, and Paul was sending him off to Ephesus with this letter. In Colossians, Paul says of Tychicus that he served with him in the Lord's work, this most important and vital message that Jesus Christ came to give his life for all who would believe in him. Tychicus was a brother in this endeavor. Moreover, in Titus, it says that Paul sent Tychicus to relieve Titus when Paul asked for Titus to come and visit him when Paul himself was really a prisoner in Rome. And so Tychicus was that man that went to relieve Titus in his ministry, the most critical task. When Paul uses the Greek word know in the phrase to let you know how we are doing, the word know in the Greek is gnosko. It means an experiential knowledge. For the Apostle Paul is nothing more than a human being. He is just a man, and he needs them to know how he's doing. And he wants them to know he's okay. In fact, he still has the opportunity and the capacity to tell people about Christ Jesus the Lord, even though he's under house arrest. During this time, when your spiritual leader was under house arrest and locked down, you wanted to know that things were going to be okay. Paul indicated them that in fact was so, that he was doing all right. We need friends. Everybody needs a friend. And now he's sending Tychicus with this message of support and help to the people in Ephesus. Two women named Lynn and Angela illustrated this kind of friendship that was helpful and encouraging and mutually supportive. Lynn is a medical doctor. Angela was an office manager. And they met one day at their church when they discovered that Angela was looking for a new job. And Lynn invited her to come and manage her office at the medical clinic. So Angela accepted the position. And over time, their friendship grew to be beyond a working partnership. They became like sisters. Lynn deeply respected Angela's family life. Her husband, Jerry, and their children became close friends as well. But she still recognized and respected their family as they respected her individuality. And over time, they discovered a mutual desire to help people in need. And so these two women would form a team and annually go on medical missions trips to help people. This continued throughout the years. And as they continued to develop their relationship, they respected one another's individuality. They offered help and support. Everybody needs a friend. And friends offer a blessing as well. He gave a blessing of peace. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. This was more than a mere greeting. Paul longed for them to experience reconciliation. And earlier in chapter 1 in Ephesians, Paul had said he rejoiced in their faith and their love for one another. And then in chapter 2, he spoke of how they had this commonality through Christ. It wasn't that they were just various or diverse people stitched together somehow, but they were really like a new people, almost a new race through Christ. He wrote in chapter 2, "But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." So, when he pronounced peace upon them as brothers and sisters, he wasn't trying to sort of magically pronounce something or or saying that he had this authority as an apostle to bring peace. No, he was simply reiterating the truth that Christ has already given peace to his people through himself, and he is pronouncing that peace. When I was a young pastor, we invited a man who had a ministry of preaching and also singing to come to our church and hold a short series of meetings. One evening as he did so, he spoke, and then he began to sing and walk among us. And as he sang and walked among us, he would respectfully and gently place his hand on someone's shoulder or someone's head on the way by as a blessing of peace. And as he approached me and put his hand on my head and sang, the peace of Christ washed over me in a remarkable way. Everybody needs a blessing. Everybody needs a friend. To whom do you offer a blessing of peace? To whom do you pour your life into, offering help and encouragement? With whom do you celebrate their gifts, their personhood, as a brother or sister in Jesus Christ? And he gave a blessing of love. And may God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, give you love with faithfulness. This is the love that grows out of faith, faith in Christ. It doesn't grow out of law. It doesn't grow out of a list of traditions or rules that we create. In fact, traditionalism actually makes us slaves to the non-essentials. When people in the region of Galatia heard that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had died for their sin, removed their shame at the cross, and offered the Holy Spirit to come into their lives, they grasped this truth by the Spirit's power, and they greatly, gratefully received Christ, and they were transformed into a body together. But other teachers came along and told them, no, this isn't enough. What you need to do now is receive our traditions and incorporate them into your lives. Only then will you really be the people of God. And so they became confused and distracted by this. And in fact, they lost their focus on Christ and fell away from their faith. And Paul called them back to faith, saying, for if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. And then he told them their additional religious traditionalism had no power to change them. Rather, he said, what is important is faith expressing itself in love. Everybody needs love. Do we emphasize our own rules for each other, or do we reach out with a love based in faith in Jesus Christ, the only one who truly transforms us by his power? And then he offers the blessing of grace. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. We experience the grace of God now, not just after we die. This grace was given to us through Christ when he died on the cross and rose again, and then gives his Spirit to those who believe. Grace really means that someone with power and strength voluntarily comes along and helps someone without strength or who is in desperate weakness. And this is what God has done for us by his grace. This is the blessing of God's grace upon us. Paul wrote, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. Undeserved kindness is grace. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. That is what grace looks like. Everybody needs grace. This is not a cliche Paul is offering them, not just some religious greeting, but again, it is grounded in the act of God through Jesus Christ. Everybody needs God's grace. Do we offer God's grace to the person who in the moment needs strength, needs us to come alongside? Friends celebrate a brother or sister. Friends offer help and encouragement, and friends give a blessing. People need the blessing of love and of peace and of grace. We hear a lot today about what is the new normal? What is it going to be like? Well, we know what it is. This is what it is. We are to be agents not so much of change as agents of normal. We're the agents of normal. This is what normal is. Normal is offering the blessing of peace through Christ, of love in Christ, and of grace through Jesus Christ. Bob Goff tells the story of how he met Randy when Bob was a junior in high school. Randy worked for an organization called Young Life. And for various reasons, Bob decided to keep Randy at arm's length, even though he admired that he had a beard and a motorcycle and a girlfriend. But Randy persisted in reaching out to Bob and simply being a friend until, in fact, they formed a friendship. But Bob had become disenchanted with high school and decided he was going to quit and go to Yosemite and become a rock climber and get a part-time job on the side. And so, out of respect for Randy, first thing on a Sunday morning, he loaded up his little Volkswagen Bug and he stopped by Randy's house on his way out of town. Randy came to the door and listened quietly and groggily as Bob related his story and his plan and his vision to go to Yosemite, take on his new journey. Randy managed to maintain a serious and engaged look, even though he was still waking up. Finally, he spoke up and he said, "Bob, could you just hold on a minute? I have to go check something out." He didn't lecture him. He didn't tell him he was a fool, that he was going to fail. Bob said, "Okay," because he had nowhere else to be, and he waited patiently for a few moments. And in due time, Randy returned to the door with a tattered backpack and a sleeping bag under his arm. And he said, "Bob, I'm with you." Bob was taken aback at this and said, "Really, you're going with me?" He said, "Yeah." And so Randy put his things in the back seat on top of Bob's, and they drove off together in the Volkswagen Bug, a 5 or 6 hour drive to Yosemite National Park. They got there before nightfall, before Bob realized that he didn't really have a place to stay. And so they managed to find a platform tent where they snuck into the back of it and slept the night. They awakened the next day to the crisp, beautiful air surrounded by the beautiful peaks of that area. And then began the job hunt as Bob went door to door trying to fill out resumes and struck out all day long. No one was hiring. In fact, they said there are very few jobs in the valley right now. They went back again to sleep in the platform tent. And the next morning, Randy awakened cheerily and said, "Hey, let's go climb some rocks." And so they did, trash-talking each other about who was the better climber. In all of this process, at one point, Randy said to Bob, "Bob, you can do this thing if you want. You have the stuff it takes to pull it off. These guys don't know what they're missing. Let's try a few more places. Either way, Bob, I'm with you." And so at midday, when they finished rock climbing, they went to the remaining businesses in the valley. And again, no jobs were available. Bob had very little cash left after buying gas for the Volkswagen. And so Randy sprang for dinner that night. And on the way back to the car, Bob spoke up. And he said, "Randy, you know, you've been great coming with me and everything, but it looks like I'm striking out. I think what I'll do is head back and finish up high school." And after a short pause, Randy said, "Man, whatever you decide, just know that either way, I'm with you, Bob." And so they began the very quiet 5 or 6 hour drive back home with Yosemite in the rearview mirror. Every once in a while, Randy would speak up and said, "Hey, how are you doing, Bob?" When they got back to Randy's house, Bob noticed that Randy's girlfriend's car was in the driveway. They went up to the front door and Bob followed his friend into the house. And he noticed wrapping paper on the floor and household items on the floor and strewn about, including on the couch. And he thought, well, is it Randy's birthday? Is it his girlfriend's birthday? After a few moments, Randy's girlfriend bounded around the corner, threw her arms around Randy and said, "Welcome home, honey." And Bob said it was a combination of sickness and being choked up that struck him at that moment as he realized that Randy and his girlfriend had gotten married and these were wedding presents on the floor and on the couch. And Randy and his girlfriend had sacrificed the first few days of their marriage together so that Randy could accompany, and we would say shepherd, Bob on his journey. Bob said that Randy didn't just say he was with him, he really was. He writes this, "What I learned from Randy changed my view permanently about what it meant to have a friendship with Jesus. I learned that faith isn't about knowing all of the right stuff or obeying a list of rules. It's something more costly, because it involves being present and making a sacrifice. Everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs to become one. Each one, shepherd one."